This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Lots and lots of stuff to talk about today. I want to give a behind-the-scenes shout-out to a local VFW of mine because I've had some issues with technology and other things at my home. And so a VFW has helped me out and helped me get on the air today via their location and some of the stuff we have set up there. So all the VFWs throughout the country, attaboy, one of yours did real good today for me. All right, let's talk about some of the things out there in the world, out there in the news. First, it's insane to me that Benjamin Netanyahu and the White House continue to go back and forth disagreeing publicly about the level of support the United States is giving to Israel right now or the potential for weapons to be withheld. And the only reason that it's so insane is the White House is pretending as though Israel would have some reason to lie. I just don't understand what that would be. And I'll continue to not understand what that would be. Why would Israel want to push right now to try to potentially harm in any way, shape, or form the relationship with the United States by making something like this up? And that is the contention the White House is taking. Of course, the distraction or the side element to this is that if they are doing anything to screw with our support of Israel, whether that would be withholding weapons or, you know, any of the like, any of the things that Netanyahu is complaining about, then essentially Biden is trying to cater to his radical base, the people who are protesting on the campuses who suddenly say, hey, I might actually consider voting for Trump in the near future if everything continues to go as horribly as it has under Biden. So Biden now screwing with one of our most important allies in a region where we don't have many other allies and then claiming he's not. At least that's my take on it. I don't know what will come out ever to prove or disprove any of that idea. But when someone tells you that the other side is lying, one of the smartest things you can always do when two sides are telling you completely different stories is contemplate what the benefit is of each side to lie. Why would each side lie to you? What are they gaining most by doing that? And right now, the only thing I can understand that is being gained by that is Biden's side and a political win of some kind. All right. Other things out there in the news. U.S. has signaled that it is expanding a policy to allow Ukraine to counterstrike in Russia. This is as Russia is touting its relationships with North Korea, which shouldn't really intimidate the United States at all, although our commander-in-chief is the weakest commander-in-chief that we've ever seen in the history of this country. At least that's my opinion on it. So obviously in that world, this might in fact somehow intimidate Biden, but it should not intimidate our military, and I doubt it does. But nonetheless, as you have that going on the other day, as you have all these other things happening in the world of China and Russia and whoever, all of the provocative actions that seem to point to the United States, if you're a potential adversary of ours, and say, go ahead, do something, because we know the commander-in-chief is a paper tiger. As that's going on, you have the United States saying, go ahead, Ukraine, use our weapons, go further into Russia. Which could be seen as a sign of conflict between the United States and between Russia, I just don't believe we'll ever get there. Because even someone as broken as Biden, even someone as much of a puppet as that president is, would eventually be told by the military intelligence people in a strong enough way that any of the people around Biden controlling him would be pushed out of the room that we have to act if this action is taken. And I think everyone knows that. So I don't want to, on the show, filling in for Dana, pretend as though I'm trying to fearmonger all the way to tell you that we're on the precipice of World War III. At the same time, though, I just don't understand how more people out there in the world don't notice this level of ridiculousness, this level of this is how bad things have gotten because of who the leader, the commander-in-chief of this military is. All right, let's move on to something else. I thought this was interesting. Andrew McCabe popped up on the CNN. He talked about Steve Bannon. He talked about threats against him. He talked about all kinds of things. I thought some of this audio was pretty interesting. Here we go.
They've been doing this to me. Donald Trump's been doing this to me for years. I'll be fine. It's about people who will be experiencing this for the first time. And more importantly, their families. You know, like I talk to former officials and everyone is in the same place. Like we are still committed to this country and seeing this through. We still have faith in the systems that are that are built to protect the rights of every American. But that's a hard thing to explain to your family when they're thinking, you know, basically they don't want to have to live in this kind of fear and terror for another 4 years. What's really to me shocking and disgusting about the rhetoric is what it says about who we are becoming as a nation. And the fact that a person who is, you know, quite possibly the next president of the United States is engaging in this level of absolutely fundamentally anti-democratic rhetoric.
I totally agree with you that there is a person that's, well, currently the president of the United States, not someone that could be the next president, although I guess they are both running, but President Biden, who is engaging in fundamentally anti-democratic behavior, and that would be trying to jail your political rival. I totally agree that that's going on. I don't think it's happening in the terms you're talking about, Mr. McCabe. I, you know what I will say in all honesty, too? And I know that Fauci's out there more. I know there's a lot of audio we can get to today of a lot of different individuals throwing around all kinds of craziness. But the honest truth, as best I can describe it to you in these situations, is that if you desire a camera, if you go in front of a camera again and again and again, if you put yourself out there, some of the things that come back to you are things you will not like. I'm not saying like you have to accept the threat of actual violence against you by being a public person, but you probably will get it. I get people on my social media page, and I'm just a fill-in radio guy slash a radio host some places, and I occasionally will get one like, you're an idiot, and I'm going to beat the crap out of you. And I don't tell my family. I don't notify any of the authorities because I look at it and I'm like, this person has no idea where I am or who I am, or they just seem like an idiot. If it was something more credible, I'm sure I, like anyone else, would behave accordingly. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen. But I just love the fact that everybody, the squad does this a lot, just uses this version of the lowest common denominator internet troll is akin to, say, a Navy SEAL. You know, anytime that anyone sends a message to their social media page or their whatever and says, I'm gonna attack you, they take everything, every single one of those as seriously as you would if it's someone who has an actual set of skills. If Liam Neeson calls me on the phone and he's his character in Taken, I'm going to be very, very afraid of that man, and I'm going to notify all the authorities. I'm probably still screwed because he's got a specific set of skills. But if it's not him, I'm not all that worried more often than not about some of the things that get talked about. And I do think they're just crazy. It's just ridiculous how much we see. All right, let's play this audio. This was a big breaking story a little bit earlier today. The Supreme Court upheld a gun control law that is intent to protect domestic violence victims. I think MSNBC had the biggest celebration on this topic. I'll say before I play the audio, and I know a lot of people listening, I will disagree with the decision of the Supreme Court. I disagree with the decision of the Supreme Court. I will also say, though, there are so many examples of this current Supreme Court not behaving overwhelmingly conservatively, overwhelmingly to the right, to where people claim that it's broken, it needs to be stacked. There are decisions that get made that continue to demonstrate the ability for the Supreme Court of the United States to not behave politically. And it is ignored very, very often by the side of the aisle. I was talking about this just the other day, that wants their side to believe, the people who consume just their media, to believe that the Supreme Court is only making decisions that benefit a single political party. Here we go.
What stands out is that the Supreme Court is saying here that if you are found in violation of a domestic violence law, that you can't have temporarily your rights to guns be taken away from you. And that's really important in this case because the government was essentially arguing that if you are someone who's a threat to someone and been found to credibly have violated laws, that you should not be allowed to have guns. I also think it's important to put this into context. It was in 2022 that the Supreme Court for the first time found that you have a right to bear arms outside of your house, which meant that there were a lot of questions about whether or not other kinds of laws that were restricting people's access to guns related to domestic violence, related to other sort of breaking laws, whether or not those laws would be in some ways come into question here. And the Supreme Court here is standing on that and saying absolutely, in this case, domestic abuse violators have the ability to get their guns taken away. I also think it's important to point out that this is eight.
All right, I'll stop it there. Now, I do think that on its face when you say out loud that someone who's been found guilty of domestic abuse should not be able to possess a weapon that could do, tremendous harm to the individual that they might have hurt. I do on its face understand and even almost to some degree believe that there is a correct way to do something like that. However, and this is just honest, and I can't do anything other than be honest with you, and I know a whole lot of people don't like a however after the sentences I just said. I know a lot of individuals who were accused of things that they didn't do or accused of things that were inflated in ways that simply made no sense. I know a lot of veterans that have a chip on their shoulder because walking into certain, courtrooms, the idea that they're a veteran hurts them. And that is tremendously bad for our country and for our society to penalize those who are most willing to serve and protect us. But I know individuals who've been accused of certain things that they can demonstrate they didn't do, and it becomes irrelevant, and they wind up losing their right to possess guns. They're losing their right to the Second Amendment. And so there is a finite, need here to make sure that the system that chooses who is and is not guilty of something as heinous as harming a significant other, and even more specifically, and this is where every dad would want to beat the crap out of every piece of, that would do this to their daughter. Every single individual who has ever heard of a man that actually put hands on a woman does not respect that man at all. But at the same time, the system needs to be developed correctly to make sure that that is always, in fact, what happened. And sometimes it's not. And so that is the contention I have. That's the concern I have with this. It is not exactly that people have a right to bear arms, even if they are dangerous in their home with someone else. Domestic violence is one of the absolute core issues of, causes of a lot of really, really bad situations. I'll say one other thing, though, and it's something I say all the time when you talk about the government and gun control. Someone whose intent to do harm doesn't care if the thing that they possess is legal or illegal. Someone that's intent to do harm doesn't care if they have to use something different than a gun to do harm. There are a lot of reasons to believe that even if this makes sense from a heartstrings perspective or from a you better do everything you can to protect a woman in a dangerous situation perspective, the frank and honest truth is it's not necessarily likely to stop a lot of people who are intent to do bad things. Criminals don't care about which parts of their crimes are legal and illegal. Once they've decided to commit a crime, I don't think they weigh out which ones they should still follow. So all that matters in this, all those are components to this, even as people discuss this quite a bit today. But I think the bigger, more important message to you or to anyone out there that's lying to you is that the Supreme Court absolutely makes decisions that the left asks for, that the right has an issue with on an almost, monthly basis, at least when they're putting these decisions out. They make quite a few that lean left, and no one tells you that, or at least they tell you that very briefly because they want to control it more. Quick break, a lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Maybe you've come across this if you had to go and get a prescription filled. You know, maybe it takes a really long time to get it filled, or maybe you're told by the pharmacy they don't have that in stock right now. You don't ever want to be without a medication that you need to get better. So do what I did and take control of your family's health with a medical emergency kit from the doctors at The Wellness Company. Now, this is not a first aid kit, right? The kit is filled with essential doctor prescriptions that treat over 39 different medical issues. They have strong antibiotics for infections of all types, including pneumonia, strep throat, ear infections, all kinds of sinusitis, like sinus infections like I always get. It's like having a little urgent care without the $75 copay right at your house. And you don't have to wait to see a doctor. You don't have to wait in a waiting room. And everybody knows that's like one of the sickest places to be. You don't have to wait at a pharmacy. Every home should have at least one of these medical emergency kits. And they put it all together in your little kit. They pack it all up and they ship it directly to you. I've used it myself. I've used it several times myself. I ended up getting a sinus infection that turned into strep throat. And I could not, from the airport, traveling, doing everything that I could do. And then, of course, my doctor's office is closed. I did not want to have to go and wait into urgent care. I was too sick. And I remembered I had my medicines. I went in, I took my medicines, and I was literally, and Kane remembers, I was like back on the road to better health. And I was able to actually do my job and be on air the next day. next day, which is incredibly important for, you know, what I do. You can actually visit twc.health. That's TWC for the wellness company, .health/Dana, and use promo code Dana, and that'll save you 15%. It's super easy. It's all online. It takes like 3 minutes. So visit twc.health/Dana and enter code Dana, and that promo code Dana, that gets you 15% off. Again, that's twc.health/Dana.
Did Fed Chair Jay Powell have a Freudian slip? How do we have red hot jobs numbers while the unemployment rate continues to rise? Jay Powell admits that payrolls are a bit overstated. Is he covering for Biden's failures?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
This is the Dana Show, and it's time for a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's quick five.
That's correct. Real quick here. Justin Timberlake took a $2 million hit on the sale of his 127-acre property just weeks before his DWI arrest, as his tour has struggled to sell tickets. Justin Timberlake, not as famous as he was back in the NSYNC. He was an NSYNC, right? The NSYNC days. Other things out there. There's a lawsuit against Madonna over a late start time that was dismissed. You cannot sue for late start times, I guess, unless it gets real egregious. I would say the court, if it's like a day late, or if it's, you know, 10 hours late, you got to be able to sue at some point, right? There's got to be some scenario. I don't know how many people would wait there if it's another day in order to see Madonna. I would not wait for that. I would have back when Timberlake was more famous. Other things, I did enjoy this. A State Department briefing was interrupted by an actual cockroach, a cockroach that was, quote, a rather large one, which was said over, I think, the live stream of the State Department hearing. You would think that that would be just the politicians themselves. They'd all actually be the giant cockroaches sitting around, looking around, doing terrible things that don't help any of us. That would be at least my opinion. Lots of rather large ones. One other quick five thing, just sad news. I think I might have mentioned it yesterday because it broke during the show yesterday. But Donald Sutherland, the actor, passed away at 88 years old. Someone who was well known for quite a few different things, from Hunger Games to the MASH movie. Donald Sutherland, rest in peace. All right, that's some of the quick five. We got a lot more coming up on this show. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. Find her everywhere on social media. D Lash or Dana Lash Radio on Twitter, on X, just so many places to find her. A quick break, a lot more in a bit.
I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find Dana a whole bunch of places. You can find her on social media, on X, on pretty much anything, I think, at D Lash or Dana Lash Radio. You can also find her on television, on iTunes, everywhere, anywhere. There's a lot of places to find Dana Lash. She will be back on Monday. All right, let's dive into some things. There's been a lot of reports about polling right now, and that Biden is closing the gap between him and Trump in the world of polling numbers from, I think the only real way to say that with honesty is just registered voters on a national with a national focus. But if you're actually looking at battleground states, the states that would decide the election, because sadly, so few states seem to have a real voice in our elections, and many, many states are going to go one way or the other way no matter what, even though Trump is actually threatening in places like New York or Michigan. Especially in New York, this seems to be almost, shocking to the left, but it is happening. But if you look at battleground states, Emerson College poll, 47% to 43% Trump in Arizona, 45% Trump to 41% Biden in Georgia. Michigan, as I said, 46-45, Minnesota, 45-45, Nevada, 46-43. All of these Trump, he's leading in all of the battleground states. If I were right now to decide who I wanted to be as far as which candidate is more likely to win in a few months, it's easily Trump. And that's what anyone and everyone would be telling you if they were telling the truth. All right, some other things out there that I saw, I thought this was interesting. There was a discussion about President Biden doing certain stunning things. And so I love whenever something winds up, you know, being talked about more as far as an action the president takes. And then the internet just digs deep and finds, audio or video from just a couple years ago of Biden saying some things that seem really different than current Biden. Let's play one of these examples.
G7 conversation was tied to your predecessor, who is about to launch another campaign. So how do you reassure them if that is the reason for their questioning, that the former president will not return, or that his political movement, which is still very strong, will not once again take power in the United States?
Yes, it's very strong.
Well, we just have to demonstrate that he will not take power if he does run, making sure he, under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
That's interesting. That sounds very interesting that you would say something like that back in November 9th of 2022, when you believe that Trump is not as politically strong as he is and has been ever since he announced that he was running for president again. And now you say that you're definitely not involved in any sort of attempt to politically prosecute the current or the former president of the United States. I just love that when the media fact checks something big that's out there in the world, much like, well, not the media, I shouldn't say that, social media or the versions of social media that aren't corrupt by a certain crap censorship, they can put out there in real terms right away exactly what the problem with some of this is. All right, let's move on to this. Dr. Anthony Fauci was on The View. I don't like playing audio with The View any more than I like playing audio with Dr. Anthony Fauci, but this is one moment that seemed to be fairly interesting to a lot of people.
COVID is no longer kind of part of our daily lives. Tensions have not cooled regarding the topic, and we saw that on full display during your congressional hearing earlier this month, which we just witnessed, which even became a hot topic on this show. We discussed it. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene isn't the only Republican that's actually calling for your criminal prosecution or imprisonment.
Shocking.
How seriously do you take those threats?
You know, obviously you always take threats that people make seriously, but I quite frankly don't know what they're talking about. What are the charges? That you saved millions of lives with the vaccine that you helped develop, or that you got people to do things that were interventions that made them more safe? Again,
you got people to do things that were interventions that made them more safe is a really interesting way to phrase that. You force people to do stuff they didn't want to do, or you tried to force even more people to do stuff that they didn't want to do. Here's the thing about Fauci, and when he says these kinds of statements, or when he acts in this pompous way, as he often does, is he's ignoring all of the simple information that is available to the American people now, ignoring it willingly still, which is what he was doing before. It's just kind of his MO. It's how he behaves all the time. But he's ignoring things like the data that came out that said, and this is, I know that you're going to feel like this isn't strong enough, by the way. I know that if you're listening to this show and you absolutely agree that all the things they tried to do to us were ridiculous, then you definitely feel that these numbers should be expanded. But actual scientific accepted data came out that said that if you were under the age of 40 and male, you never should have gotten any vaccines. That is because the actual risk to your heart is significant enough, and the lack of risk, if you didn't have any pre-existing conditions, of COVID actually hurting you to the extent of taking your life was so small that, in fact, it was not good for you. That is something that's ignored. And that's just one piece of data, one piece of study that is actually out there, that is actually available for anyone that would want to consume it. And Fauci knows it, and he doesn't care about it, and he does whatever he feels like doing, which is sort of scary and insane. All right, let's play something else. This is the Vice President of the United States, who might actually horribly become the President of the United States if Biden were reelected. And then, as we've seen, his health continues to deteriorate as rapidly as it is. She says a lot of words. I'm not sure if any of the words make sense when you think about them all together. I know they're English words. I don't know if there's a point.
When people stand together, when we use our collective voice, when we stand in solidarity, we can drive extraordinary change, because it is we who stand together as the collective who have the power and the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
She even ended it with the old typical see what can be unburdened by what has been. But I'll play this again for us so that we all understand this together. There's a lot of repetition of phrases. The collective is going to stand together, and we're going to stand as a collective. I don't know what we're standing for. I don't know what we're doing. It would be like if you showed up at whatever the event is that she organized, you got your signs and they just have question marks on them. You're like, we don't know what we're here for, but we know that we're supposed to be standing here as a group to stand together. Here we go.
When people stand together, when
yes.
we use our collective voice, when we stand in solidarity,
together,
we can drive extraordinary change.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is we who stand together as the collective uh-huh. who have the power and the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
Do you think she knows how often she repeats the same phrase? Do you think that's a mistake she makes? Or do you think this is entirely purposeful? I don't know sometimes, to be honest. I don't know if it's just a accidental whoops-a-daisy. I really wanted to work this phrase in, and I guess I just overdid it a little bit too much. Or if she truly does, as she often does, intend to repeat things 5, 6, 7 times in one statement. All right, let's play a little bit of a Biden whose brain is broken. And I love a lot of this because this is, of course, called a cheap fake. This is the kind of thing that you can't believe because I'm dirty, dishonest media. I'm a conservative that has a radio fill-in shift, even. I wonder how much of a villain I am compared to the average villain in the world of the liberal media, because I only do this occasionally for shows this massive. But here we go. This is a mashup of Biden not being able to say and do stuff correctly as he runs our country. And this is all, of course, not fake, because it's not called a deep fake, but it's just cheap. And that makes it fake somehow.
Angelo Negri was from, you remember Ange? And a guy named Angelo Negri.
I said, Joey, baby, grab my cheek. And not a joke. And I thought that he was going to get shot. True story. And Ange walks up to me and goes, Joey, baby, grabs my cheek. And I thought the Secret Service was going to blow his head off. I said, I swear to God, true story. And I thought he was going to get shot. I'm serious. Joey, baby, what are you? And I thought the Secret Service was going to shoot him. I said, no, he's good. He's good.
Okay, so there's a problem with this story that Biden keeps telling about this individual. Not only did he retire in the 1990s, but he died in 2014. I don't think you can go up to Biden, pull his cheek and call him baby or whatever he's saying that's happening there. And I can keep playing this audio and still not be alive for as many years as Angelo has sadly not been here with us. This is crazy. Hear more.
True story. Joey, baby, grabbed my cheek. I thought he was going to shoot him. You know, they go, Joey. I said, Ange. I said, he's okay. He's a friend. True story. Joey, baby, grabbed my cheek. I thought the Secret Service was going to shoot him. I said, Joey, grab my cheek. I thought the Secret Service was going to shoot him. I said, no. I said, he's okay.
He's okay. He's fine. This goes on for another 2 minutes. This is honestly more and more audio that you can play, that you can demonstrate of a guy who has not been alive for 10 years now and has not been working for over 20 years now, that apparently is really good friends with our president and grabs his cheek and calls him Joey Baby. It's terrifying. Honestly, like truthfully, as funny as some of that stuff might be, it's also the scariest stuff going on right now in our country, that this individual not only is in charge, But they're trying to get him in charge again. It's the kind of thing that you don't see in real life as often as you see in, say, the movies or television. But it's happening right now. And it's one of the crazier things, again, that I think I'll look back on years from now and be like, wow, that guy still tried to be in office as all this stuff was going on. And they actually tried to tell us that what we were seeing with our eyes wasn't real, that we were actually seeing something that was cheap somehow and not just actual video footage of the commander in chief. All right, I'll take a break on that. A lot coming up. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. The disappointment of this dad is off the charts. And I guess this actually happened on Father's Day at Father's Day dinner, which makes it even worse. A brother put this up on social media. His sister, the daughter of the guy who seems so heartbroken, is asking a very, very dumb question. And I thought about telling you what it was, but it's revealed toward the tail end of this audio. And I think it's better that way because you hear all the sadness and then eventually the dad repeats what it is that's cutting him so very, very deep. Here we go.
Oh, World War II.
What went wrong?
You like,
what did I do? I'm just asking a simple question.
I know.
Do you still love me?
No.
Chris, you very famously.
Honey, do you know who Hitler is?
Can I skip this question? Can you explain history to me, please?
Not right now.
On Father's Day. I know it's your favorite pastime.
Look, this right here really cut me deep.
Yep.
Did I have to explain that Hitler is dead?
Yep, that's something he had to do. His daughter asked him if Hitler was dead or alive. And then he said, honey, do you know who Hitler is? And she tried to skip the question. That's a real thing that happened, a real thing that went viral all over social media. I love the sadness in this guy's voice because I would feel it if this was my kid. And they open the door and they're sitting down at the table with me for a nice family Father's Day dinner. And somehow it comes up that they're not aware if the leader of the Nazis is dead or alive, if he did or didn't kill himself as we were closing in on him many, many years ago, something that almost anyone who knows anything about history should probably know. Here we go.
Oh, World War II.
What went wrong? You like, what did I do? I'm just asking a simple question.
It's a bad question.
Do you still love me?
No.
That's probably my favorite part. I know. Do you still love me? No, I do not.
Honey, do you know who Hitler is?
No, she doesn't.
Can I skip this question? Can you explain history to me, please?
Not right now.
On Father's Day, I know it's your favorite pastime.
Look, this right here really cut me deep.
It should have.
Did I have to explain that Hitler is dead?
To be honest, he sounds a little bit like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh, and he deserves to because his daughter is not aware if Hitler is alive or dead. I'm not going to get sick of that audio. I don't think I'm ever going to get sick of that. School systems need to be changed. I don't know how, but we need to fix that. This is interesting. 580,000 glass coffee mugs have been recalled. This is about 50 or so that have caused injuries and a whole bunch of other ones that they think will cause injuries. This is because the coffee mugs can't hold hot liquid. That seems to be a flaw in the coffee mug itself. if you don't have the right ingredients in the thing so that it doesn't fall apart, shatter into just pieces of shards of glass. If you put anything hotter than, say, lukewarm into this, but they are recalling the Joy Jolt Delcan single wall glass coffee mugs. I guess the fact that they're glass, too, might have been a inherent demonstration of potential risk, but not for a lot of people. As I said, 50 people have actually been injured by said coffee mugs. And so apparently because of that, they're now finally deciding, you know what, go ahead, give those back to us. We'll try again later. Another thing, just quickly, that I saw out there before we take a break. America is number one in taking the fewest vacation days. Americans are given, on average, about 12 vacation days a year by their employers, and only about 53% of us, 47% of us actually take those days. 53% don't take all of them. You probably don't take your sick days either. You show up at work sick, you give up a few vacation days, and the employer tells you they care, and not a whole lot of employers care as much as they should. So take them. Take your days. Two-thirds of us feel like we don't step away enough when we're asked the question, are you taking enough vacation? But then we're leaving vacation on the table. I guess the only good thing about it, and this is odd, but I'll just put it out there, is that if you do get canned from a job or if you quit a job, you get all those vacation days as pay. They still get given to you in one lump sum at the end of all this. So I guess that's the caveat to if you're saving them up for a rainy day. It's a weird version with absolutely no other financial benefit to you other than you wait to get that money till later. To wait until you're canned or you quit, to take that vacation and put it in the paycheck. All right. And also, and this is crazy, and I'll talk about this probably a little bit more later, some Americans would like to visit the dentist at 2 a.m. No, not because of an emergency, just because they think at that time of the day, it'd be the least disruptive to them in their workday or their schedule. I just said we don't take enough vacation days. I don't want to start doing my dentist appointments at 2 a.m., but some people want this, and some dentists are thinking about being 24/7. All right. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. Quick break. A lot more coming up in a bit.
Gold Co. Golly, the economy's trash. I mean, I could sit here and tell you every single day, same headline. Economy's bad. Economy's bad. Economy's bad. And the borders, everything's horrible. So here, look, this is what you need to do. Go buy gold and silver. Don't be like these people who sit around and then wait till it gets too bad and then they lose everything they got because they didn't diversify their retirement savings with precious metals. And this is what you can do with Gold Co. You got a free 2024 wealth protection guide to arm you with the facts about precious metals and how it could help you in the face of inflation, exploding national debt, the whole nine yards. And you could possibly be eligible for up to 10% instant match and bonus silver while supplies last. So don't sleep on it. They've got thousands of five-star reviews, and they've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. Education first position, and they want you to have the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. No pressure, and they're dedicated to transparency. Visit DanaLikesGold.com, get your free gold kit from Gold Co., and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find Dana everywhere. D Lash on social media or Dana Lash Radio are two places to get her on X. All over the place, though. She's on DirecTV. She's on everything. YouTube, Rumble. You name the place. She's got stuff there. So you can find her everywhere. All right. Nearly 100 million people are under a temperature advisory as a heat wave continues to linger throughout the United States. Depending on who you are and how you desire to talk about this, there are those who are saying that this is evidence of global warming and that I think I enjoyed maybe one take most on MSNBC when someone said, you're probably thinking that we should just give up. We should not recycle. We should not do anything. The end of days are now. But I have good news for you. That's not true. I think that was their take. Nonetheless, what I find interesting about this, and it's not just a discussion about climate and how climate works and whether or not climate is a thing that you and I can talk about without bringing in the other word, change, into the equation, and whether weather itself and hot Julys are the same thing as, say, hot Decembers. But what I think is most important, and I've said this before, and I'll just keep saying it, is that you and I could turn blue in the face, no matter who you are, no matter what your opinion is as far as the reality or lack thereof of a thing like climate change. But what we won't disagree on, at least I hope, is that the wrong people to fix any sort of problem like that, especially when they're asking for a crap ton of money, is the government. I don't know why that pitch works on some people. Like, hey, this is a real thing. It's a danger. It's the most eminent threat we face. So let's hand it to the organization that has a terrible track record at fixing much easier problems and hope that they do great with it. And let's give them a whole bunch of our money and then not really check in anymore. That's essentially what the call to action is. And it's always nuts. Things could be changed. Maybe things could be different at some point. But the right people to give the money to or give the power to, as we've seen time and again, are not the people asking for it. It's probably the people that don't want anything to do with it. It's probably some character that gets played by Jeff Goldblum in a movie in the future that's sitting in some basement somewhere like, I don't want to fix this. That's the one that fixes whatever the issues are. All right, let's move on. MSNBC had some audio or some reactions to fundraising efforts by the former president of the United States, and they seem to be surprised by some of the successes that are happening here. Here's a little bit of this.
If you're sitting in Biden's headquarters, you do not like these numbers, because what they do show is that Donald Trump is going to have enough money to run this campaign in a very full way. You don't like that your numbers are so much smaller than his in that month of May, and you're probably redoubling your efforts to raise money to make sure that that doesn't happen. If you just look at Trump and the RNC, they raised $106 million together in May. You look at Biden and the DNC, that number is $60 million. The difference there is basically 76% more for Trump than and the RNC than Biden and the DNC.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all. I love the beginning of this audio, too, actually. I think I'm going to play it again. I love the idea that if you were running for office, it's actually similar to the audio I played yesterday, Jamal Bowman's wife being mad that someone was trying to challenge him in a primary. But if you're running for office, and even the office as important as the one that's in the most control in our country, the president itself, you'd be disappointed that the candidate can run a successful campaign against you, or at least a well-funded one. Like who's hoping? They're like, I hope no money goes to that guy, and then people don't know he's running. I would never want to win a race where I had to trip the other guy to win. That's not how I was raised. That's not any part of how a lot of us, I think, are at least hopefully raised, is you want to win a legitimate fight. You don't want to cheat. And I know Biden's already cheating a whole lot of different ways, but this is just sort of ridiculous. They say the quiet part out loud so often. One more time.
If you're sitting in Biden's headquarters, you do not like these numbers, because what they do show is that Donald Trump is going to have enough money to run this campaign.
Hilarious.
In a very full way.
You don't like it. You're like, darn it. Ugh, I was hoping that he wasn't going to be able to run the campaign. Can someone go over and steal some of that money from him? Well, honestly, like, and truthfully, actually, maybe I should say it this way, and I don't mean to repeat myself so much in the show, but one of the things that I think is as bad about the current president as his just mental breaking apart and the things that they're calling cheap fakes are how weak he is. And someone who wants to win by helping the other guy lose, which is, I guess, long been a Democratic position, but someone who wants to win by helping the other guy lose is not someone you want to actually run the entire country. It's just not something you or I should want to see, no matter who you are, no matter who you typically vote for. You don't want the person that wants to win by default. All right, let's play this. This is a conversation that deserves to happen, that is not happening. The Biden administration continues to ignore and not say the name of a woman that was brutally murdered and raped at the hands of an illegal alien and a monster, as this person is often described. And political wins don't matter as much as the integrity that our country needs when stuff like this happens. You can't just avoid it. Here's a little bit of Fox News talking about this story.
Biden's first day in office was to remove every executive order that Trump had put in place to secure our border. And he stopped the building of the wall. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the Biden administration has the blood of Rachel Warren on their hands.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with her. The Biden administration and the way in which they've left the border to be wide open and told us that it's not open when it absolutely is something that causes the risk level in this country to go through the roof and causes individuals who have a desire to flee whatever country they live in, not just individuals who are a mom with two kids that want a better life for their family, but individuals who do horrible things like this person. And when I say that out loud, if someone tries to attack their radio or scream at the radio, wow, that was racist, it's a fact. I'm pointing to a story where a thing happened that is exactly aligned with what I'm saying the risk is. It occurred because of our failure to protect our border. And this individual, this woman, Rachel Warren, who was killed and who was raped is someone that never should have had to deal with the, and her family never should have to deal with the horrific fallout of something this awful, this horrible. And so it's not race baiting. It's not a racial, you know, trying to excite or inflame tensions. It's just simply telling you a true thing that actually happened that's being ignored by certain politicians because they don't want to talk about it. And honestly, you know what? I'll say something else about this. And I don't mean to rant so much today. I know this is the Dana show, and I should probably be getting you a whole lot of news, but she'll be back, and she's way better at this than me on Monday, so I'm sure you're going to get more. But I think about this very often when I talk about stories like this, wherever I'm doing media of any kind, the whole, you know, by bringing this up in this way or talking about that issue with these facts included, somehow going to harm our society. There are people in newsrooms throughout this country who ignore things like the manifesto of the transgender shooter because they think and they tell themselves that they're doing a greater good. They're protecting innocent people by lying to you, by not telling you the whole story, by not telling you the true story, and by keeping certain information out because they don't trust you. A lot of media does not trust their consumers. They think that if they tell you something, they could radicalize you, whoever you are. And I think the most honest media is the media that actually trusts its viewers, trusts its listeners, trusts whoever to go ahead and make informed, intelligent decisions based on both the information that I or whoever it is presents to you and any information that you can go gain after you've heard something that you didn't know before on your own. And today's society makes it very easy. You don't have to go to the library and get a bunch of late fees anymore. You just have to crack open the internet and look real hard, and you can find a whole bunch of different opinions and hopefully some facts. But honestly, that's the biggest problem I've seen. I've heard it. I've had discussions with people. Here's one, actually, that I thought was really interesting. This happened to me at a different radio place, a stop in my life, where there was a big story that involved suicide. And a bunch of people in a room that I was in said that the aspect of discussing that suicide had occurred was bad, that it could encourage other people to harm themselves, to commit suicide. And my position was, but it happened, and it's news. And this news needs to be told, and it needs to be told the right way. And the greater good opinion, and I don't think any one organization like ones that I worked at before was alone in believing this, but the greater good opinion was, well, by leaving it out, we're telling enough of the story for people to understand aspects of it that matter, and we're also potentially protecting those who might hurt themselves. That's not trusting your audience. That's not believing your audience is intelligent enough to receive a news story with value and importance the right way without thinking that you're somehow doing harm to the innocent. You should not lie, and the reason you should not lie or the reason you convince yourself that it's okay to lie should not be that you're protecting the innocent, because very, very often you're just simply losing credibility. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in. This is The Dana Show.
Keltec is a great company. 300 awesome Americans work here. George Kellgren immigrated the right way, came in from Sweden, went to Cocoa, Florida, and created an awesome boomstick company founded in 1991. And it's an innovative Florida-based creator of pistols, rifles, shotguns, as well as all kinds of accessories and gear. And they've continued the mission of game-changing innovation and performance with their Sub 2K Gen 3. It's light, it's foldable, it's effective, and you don't have to detach your favorite mags are your favorite optics also. You just fold the whole thing in half, and it also just as quickly and easily deploys. I actually just remembered I got some stuff in from Keltec that I just literally this weekend that I need to unpack and go take to the range. I need to go take my toys out. But they're all quality made right here in the US of A. Keltec Made in America, family-owned company, family-owned values. They employ veterans. They stand behind what we all believe in. And it's just another great American company that makes stuff that's useful to you and supports your natural rights. See all Keltec has to offer at KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media so you can be in the know when stuff drops. That's KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Tired of the same old predictable commentary? Spice up your day with a Dana Show podcast, where dynamic discussions, compelling guests, and Dana's unique perspective await. Download on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana is back on Monday. You can find her everywhere. Go to Rumble, YouTube, or find her Spotify, or find her Apple podcasts. Just so many places to find Dana Lash. All right, let's do this. It's a quick five. Let's do a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. First, and this is just a freebie for you now. Apparently, McDonald's has realized that we don't like expensive McDonald's. We like cheap McDonald's. So they not only have debuted a $5 meal deal, they're also giving out free fries on Friday, which is harder to say than it should be. But Free Fry Friday is a thing now. I don't know exactly how you're going to be able to acquire the fries outside of buying the $5 deal. I don't think you can just show up and be like, fry me, and it'll do that for you. But they're doing things that demonstrate that they absolutely understand. I think it's a minimum $1 purchase, actually, to get some free fries. They absolutely understand that the big draw of McDonald's for a very long time was not the quality of the product, but the price of it. Not that I'm a hater. I grew up on a Happy Meal, so I like myself some McDonald's. If you guys are interested in doing any kind of advertising, I'm your guy. But nonetheless, it's something that I think is important to mention, that they're finally understanding it at least a little bit. Probably not going to recover as much business as you not want, though, until all those prices go down. All right, another thing out there that I thought was interesting, brand new research into the world of getting losing your hair, going bald as you get older. Researchers from the University of Manchester have discovered a biological mechanism that causes hair to thin. The team is hopeful that their discovery could lead to a cure for baldness in the future. The British team uncovered the link while testing a drug to see if it could effectively boost hair follicles in the human scalp. Essentially, your hair is stressed. Not just you and your stress, but your hair itself feels like it's just not, not in it today. They don't really want to do stuff. And so it slowly starts to fall out. They can help to restore calm down. It'd be awesome if you like your hair just had to smoke some pot or something. Not that I'm trying to advocate for that. I'm just saying if you chill out a little bit, apparently it helps you, and they might be able to help chill out the follicles and the cells in a way that might keep you some hair up top. I would like that very much as I get closer to 40 and hair is going missing. I do not like that at all. Another thing out there, I do think there was one mistake. That's what cost this lady her $500,000. So a gym owner tried to fake her own death. Her name is Karen. She's 42 years old. She had an insurance claim all set up, and she tried to go ahead and pretend that she, wasn't here anymore. Now, here's the flaw in her plan. She has a business partner, but she didn't want to let the business partner in on the whole, I'm going to pretend to be dead and then try to make an insurance claim. So she tried to be her business partner. She tried to disguise herself as a different person and go pick up the insurance claim on her own death. And that is not going to work out a whole lot of the time. You can't show up yourself to your own funeral and still trick everybody, no matter how good of a mustache you're wearing or how good of a disguise you put on. I love the effort, though. I love the old attempt. But they did see through the plan. They did figure out what the issue was. She did get in trouble for that. And they now know that she's not dead because she tried to make that claim herself. I think the only way you do that is if you're a twin. You know what I mean? The only way you got a shot is if you're an identical twin. And even then, you feel like you're leaving somebody out there who knows stuff they shouldn't know. And I'm not encouraging you to do anything about that. All right. A couple other quick ones for Quick Five. This was interesting to me. Both Gen Zers and Millennials are no longer just quiet quitting at their workplace, which means where you keep showing up, you keep taking a paycheck, but your job gets worse and worse. You do less and less. They're also now quiet quitting their friendships. They just stop talking to people. Or they talk to them as little as possible to make it seem like they're still friends when they're really not. They just slowly disappear. This might be because you don't like people. I have a simple piece of advice for anyone out there that's struggling with not liking someone, especially if they keep trying to ask you to hang out or, want to be friends with you. Just tell them. It might sound mean, but actually I think it's nicer because they'll hate you for it, telling them that you don't like them. And that's good. Now you've helped them move on and not want to be friends with you anymore. You don't want to be friends with them anymore. Somebody somewhere is going to say you're a jerk, and who cares about that? That'll be totally fine. One last one I saw that I thought was interesting. A woman put up a diagram of rules that she called toilet cubicle etiquette. These are things that she thinks are correct and incorrect about how to use the restrooms in a public bathroom for the women's side of the equation. Men have made jokes about this on social media to give space in between one guy and another guy going number one in the same spot. Apparently, this is a very deep dive this lady did put up on social media, and people are ripping her apart for it because it's enclosed spaces, ladies. All right, I got to take a break. A lot coming up in a bit. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Lots and lots of stuff to talk about. As always, you can find Dana Lash everywhere. 8 million, 12 million, some crazy amount of millions of listeners. She's on DirecTV. She's on YouTube, Rumble, social media, D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio. EJ Antoni is my next guest. He is with the Heritage Foundation, and EJ is on fire in the world of the things he's putting out there into, whether it's the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I think I saw you on Fox Business the other day, EJ. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Craig, thank you so much for having me. Great to be with you.
Thrilled to have you on. Okay, so let's start here. And there's a lot of headlines, all with your name attached to them, that I want to ask you about. But the big, giant one is the $1 trillion a year that we're spending in interest on our debt. I think this is something that you were talking about just the other day on TV, on The Bottom Line. Explain this to me. $1 trillion a year sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, you could say that, Craig, absolutely.
I could.
And, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to wrap our minds around numbers when they get this big. So I want all the listeners to do just a real quick exercise. Look at your pay stub from the month of March and realize that 79% of all the federal income taxes you paid went to nothing but interest on the debt. So they didn't go to building roads and bridges,
yeah,
or, you know, things we think of like schools and hospitals, or even funding the military, et cetera. None of that, not even Social Security or Medicare. It just went to pay interest on the debt. This is the result of decades of federal fiscal mismanagement, where we just spent and borrowed all this money we didn't have. And now with higher interest rates, we're really having to pay the piper here. And
yes. You said 79% of the money that we're giving. Hold on. You said 79% of the money that we're giving the government right now is just paying interest?
That's your personal income taxes. So that doesn't include things like corporate income taxes, for example.
Sure.
But yeah, all of your personal income taxes, almost all of it is now getting consumed just by interest.
Yeah. That's not how you get out of debt. I know. Whenever you rack up a credit card, you got to pay more than just the interest, buddy. That's fascinating. There's one other headline that I really loved that you're tied to, and I feel like this lays very deeply into what a lot of this data is saying. There are more young people that might actually vote Republican in the upcoming election because of how bad their lives are. There is an article out there by you talking about how Bidenomics is crushing Gen Z. Can you explain that to me a little more?
Oh, certainly. You know, when we talk to older generations, they tend to really talk down about younger generations, millennials, Gen Z, and I understand sure. that to a certain extent. You know, they see young people today as being lazy, for example, and sure. I understand, okay, sometimes those tropes are true, but these younger folks have really gotten a raw deal. They didn't have time to buy when prices and interest rates were low, and so now they're faced with a world where shelter costs are through the roof. Even renting is incredibly expensive today. They can't save enough for a down payment. They'll probably never be able to own their own home. And because their salaries are not rising as fast as prices are because of elevated inflation, they're just becoming poorer month by month, to the point where about 1 in 7 of Gen Z have now maxed out all of their credit. That's insane. These are young people, and they're already deeply in debt.
Yeah. And I know one of the other things you dove into is the dream of retirement, not just home ownership, and how hard that is for certain generations right now, regardless of how many Starbucks trips you're making. Retirement is something that is almost unfathomable to someone who's living in the basement and not figuring out how to, you know, put money away. These are all things that I think, and you said it very brilliantly, will be a demonstration of what the government is really good at, just being in debt for the entirety of your life.
Exactly. And so what kind of hope do these young people possibly have today? All of the different things that were sold to them as dreams, they're finding out that those things are literally just dreams. They're not realities anymore. And it's just because of failed public policy.
Yeah. Do you just live in a tent somewhere? Is that what you do, DJ, to figure this out? Is that a solution to it?
I don't know. Have you seen tent prices lately?
Yeah. I love that. You got to take out a mortgage to get a tent. Man, it sucks. That's terrible. All right, let's do another one. You got another story out there about how payrolls and unemployment are both rising. How can they both go up at the same time and why? Give me a little bit more there.
Well, Craig, one of the things that we're observing right now are a lot of Americans, like we were just talking about, you can't make ends meet. So in response to that, they're going out and they're getting a second or even a third job. Well, every time I do that, I get counted as another job. And it doesn't matter if it's a part-time job or a full-time job, it's still counted as another payroll. And so month after month, we get these blowout jobs reports. All the while, the number of people who are actually employed has been going down, not up.
Yeah. No, and honestly, it's interesting because you also dive into how the amount of jobs that are being created, that's in the Daily Signal from just the other day, is far less than what the White House claims it is. This has long been a claim, or at least a statement that a lot of people have made because of all the jobs that we're still recovering that were lost during the pandemic. Is that the only way in which you're seeing that these claims of job creation are flawed, or are there other ones?
No, there seem to be some real methodological problems with the way the Bureau of Labor Statistics is actually estimating these figures. And so what happens is they come out with a really great number initially, but then they keep revising the numbers down. And so all of these jobs that we thought we had, it turns out, aren't even there. And then we just got a new set of data, which is much more comprehensive. It covers 95% of all jobs. So it's kind of the gold standard in terms of labor data. And what does it show? About 1 in 4 jobs that we thought we added last year never existed. And so the one thing that this administration has been hanging its hat on, the great labor market, it turns out it's not so great.
Yeah, that is shocking that the government is lying to us about something somehow. I've never heard of that before. I don't think I've ever encountered that. Let me ask you this. If you were entering the workforce right now, or if you had a child that was entering the workforce right now, what advice would you be giving to them? What Dave Ramsey-esque tips would you be throwing their way to try to circumvent all of this? Is it simply to get the right people back in positions of power because policy is what's causing all the issues? Or is there something else they could be doing in their lives to try to protect themselves?
Well, unfortunately, in terms of what we can do individually, there's not a whole lot, because things like inflation are that's just a tax, right? It's a way that the government transfers wealth from you to itself. And so what do you do in the face of that? All you can do is work harder and try to increase your income, because the government's going to take more of it. You know, but in terms of the right people, I think it's more important that we put political pressure on whoever is in office to do the right thing.
Oh, yeah. I love it that way. They never do the right thing. A lot of these jobs that they claim are created are also part-time jobs, right?
Exactly. In fact, we are hemorrhaging full-time jobs. The only jobs that we have added over the last year are part-time ones. We've actually lost full-time jobs on net over the last 12 months.
Well, because what you just said there is actually pretty powerful. There are a lot of people who are working harder. There are a lot of people who are picking up a second, a third gig, maybe losing a full-time job and winding up with 2 or 3 part-time jobs just to make ends meet. And if you're one of the younger generations who, on top of that, is now deeply in debt, you wonder what kind of recovery is even possible there. It sounds like a very, very bleak reality right now. Do you forecast things to get worse over the next, say, 6 months?
You know, unfortunately, I do. I don't see a lot of positive outlooks right now. There are not a lot of indicators in the green. They're mostly in the red. So it does look like things are going to continue to go downhill. But as dismal as that sounds, I will say the one good thing is we don't face any inherent problems in the American economy. All of our wounds are self-inflicted. And so the good thing about that is if you simply remove the bad public policies, you will remove the bad effects.
What if you were president tomorrow, EJ, outside of any sort of celebration that I imagine you would throw, I would throw one if I got to be the president, giant, extravagant party in the streets. Outside of that, what would you do? What policies would you change?
I would drastically reduce government spending. I'm not talking about giving everything a haircut. I'm talking about cutting whole departments in half, getting rid of entire agencies, bureaucracies, et cetera. We have to get the government spending down. It's amazing, Craig, how many of our problems today at both a government level but also the individual level all stem from excessive federal spending.
Yeah. You get them to finally understand that being a $1 trillion in interest in debt every single year is bad. That's bad. You got to put the credit cards away. Can we cut up the credit cards of the government? Is that something we can do? Can we sit down, have the father talk with them and be like, all these credit cards go in the trash now? I imagine the answer is no.
If you can find a politician that will listen, I'd be happy to tell them.
All right, buddy. That's great. I'm just going to stand outside the White House cutting credit cards and just see if eventually they pay attention to me and probably arrest me. But thank you, as always, EJ, for hanging out with us. EJ Antoni, Heritage Foundation. How do people reach out to you? How do they follow you?
Best place to find me is going to be on Twitter or X, whatever we call it these days. The handle there is @RealEJAntoni.
Awesome. All right. We're going to take a quick break. A lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Maybe you've come across this if you had to go and get a prescription filled. You know, maybe it takes a really long time to get it filled, or maybe you're told by the pharmacy they don't have that in stock right now. You don't ever want to be without a medication that you need to get better. So do what I did and take control of your family's health with a medical emergency kit from the doctors at The Wellness Company. Now, this is not a first aid kit, right? The kit is filled with essential doctor prescriptions that treat over 39 different medical issues. They have strong antibiotics for infections of all types, including pneumonia, strep throat, ear infections, all kinds of sinusitis, like sinus infections like I always get. It's like having a little urgent care without the $75 copay right at your house. And you don't have to wait to see a doctor. You don't have to wait in a waiting room. And everybody knows that's like one of the sickest places to be. You don't have to wait at a pharmacy. Every home should have at least one of these medical emergency kits. And they put it all together in your little kit. They pack it all up and they ship it directly to you. I've used it myself. I've used it several times myself. I ended up getting a sinus infection that turned into strep throat. And I could not, from the airport, traveling, doing everything that I could do. And then, of course, my doctor's office is closed. I did not want to have to go and wait into urgent care. I was too sick. And I remembered I had my medicines. I went in, I took my medicines, and I was literally, and Kane remembers, I was like back on the road to better health. And I was able to actually do my job and be on air the next day, which is incredibly important for, you know, what I do. You can actually visit twc.health. That's TWC for The Wellness Company, .health/Dana, and use promo code Dana, and that'll save you 15%. It's super easy. It's all online. It takes like 3 minutes. So visit twc.health/Dana and enter code Dana, and that promo code Dana, that gets you 15% off. Again, that's twc.health/Dana.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. I believe it's time for Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, I got a few. First, this guy's name is Gene Oliver. He's 33 years old, and he is, of course, from Florida. However, he is right now, or at least recently, in Manhattan, New York. He got up on the top of a high-rise he doesn't actually live in, with furniture, which is a question that I continue to ask, and started just throwing it off the high-rise that he was on top of. He has been charged with burglary, reckless endangerment, criminal mischief, criminal trespass. There's now audio that's gone viral of neighbors living in this high rise watching this happen and being very confused as to why the landlord or someone isn't doing things quicker. I can't believe that there's not more bad words or any bad words in this audio.
How can the building take this long?
I don't know. I'm on citizen right now. Hopefully. He's giving you the bird.
I don't know why I found that funny, but on top of the throwing of the stuff off of the high rise, he also is just flipping people off because it's not enough to be Florida man breaking into a high rise with a couch, climbing up and then chucking it off the top of said building. You also got to make sure everybody knows how you feel about him. All right, that's one Florida man story. There are more. And this actually includes a Florida woman. A man and a woman were accused of stealing an AC unit or several AC units from people's homes. They are William, who's 48, and Stormy, not Daniels, who is 43. Stormy Hernandez is her name. Their mugshots definitely make them look like grumpy people. But here's the problem with their plan. Their getaway vehicle was bicycles. So they had AC units that they were trying to hold. And if you've ever tried to hold a large item while riding a bicycle, you know this is challenging. Even if you can do the no hands move on the bike, which I can do, you got to get up to speed first, and you got to usually use the hands at some point. And air conditioners are not small appliances. So they had a failed plan to begin with. They wound up being caught. They'll be charged with grand theft and burglary as well. Next time, not that I'm trying to help people commit crimes better, but I would think that you at least bring maybe a wagon or something that you tie to the bicycle along with you so you can at least drag it. Like a kid who runs away from home has a better plan sometimes with how to bring his stuff with him than these two had when they were stealing these geniuses when they were stealing the AC units. That is a Florida man and a Florida woman. I have more. A Florida man was arrested after hitting his roommate with a rock, shooting him in the nose with a pellet gun. I'm not sure exactly what started the fight. 32-year-old Daniel Reese is the guy who got arrested earlier this week. The victim was 56 years old and his roommate. He arrived home, Reese did, intoxicated and in a mood to argue, according to some of the things said to the police. He then, as I said, threw stuff, got a pellet gun out. At least it's not an actual gun that's going to do more harm and did what he did. So this is crazy. This is insane. If I was the roommate, I would have had my real gun by my side. And I would have been like, hey, man, don't take any steps closer to me. This ends badly for you. But that is absolutely one more Florida man doing Florida man stuff. All right. Let's fire off one last one. This Florida guy was accused of running an illegal animal fighting ring, a cockfighting ring in his house. People began calling 911 and investigation started because the guy had 30 to 50 friends over. And then he had a bunch of chickens that were in his backyard. And then sometimes neighbors would notice that some of these chickens would wind up outside and dead. And they were like, well, that's probably not normal. And the 50 guys coming over didn't always seem like they knew each other all that well. Detectives did not take long to investigate this case. They found at least 48 counts of animal cruelty, 74 counts of animal fighting and baiting. They set a bond at $2,500 each for 122 charges. This guy was put in jail in Orlando, Florida, and his bail amount is $305,000 because the amount of crazy things going on. When you got 30 to 50 people over, in any scenario, it usually doesn't end well for you. I actually very much remember in college, living in Chicago, in Wrigleyville, near the Cubs. This was 20 years ago, not as dangerous as it is now. And my roommate loved to throw social media parties, put them up on Facebook, see how many people show up. And sometimes it was horrible. Sometimes it was awful. And anytime you cram a large amount of people into a small space, you're getting the attention of the entire neighborhood. I don't know why anyone doesn't seem to know that. This guy didn't seem to think his plan would ever be blown up or hacked, but they were very easily caught in the horrible things they're doing. Nothing ever that crazy happened at the parties my roommate would throw in our house, by the way. The worst thing I ever remember is drunk people being asleep in my front yard when I would get up for work the next day if I had to work on, say, a weekend or something. And that was really weird because you just kind of like kick people by the foot and be like, hey, man, you probably shouldn't be here. You should probably be anywhere else. They're like, oh, dude, sorry. And then they go. There's no smooth way to wake up in someone else's front yard. I don't think I ever met a single dude who made that seem like he had made some good decisions the night before. But then again, I guess I should self-reflect. We were the ones throwing the party that included these idiots. So maybe that's partly on us. Although I was never the one putting it out on the social media for all the people to show up. And I imagine now that'd be an even worse decision than it was back when Facebook was relatively new. All right, I'll take a break. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. A lot more coming up in just a little bit. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, DirecTV Channel 347, all the places. You can even subscribe to her podcast on iTunes or even get those. She is back on Monday. Judge Judy is a name I didn't think would come into the, you know, Trump facing certain charges conversation. But here she is. Christopher Wallace asked her a question and she gave a heck of an answer and defended Trump along the way. So again, if you had a bingo card filled out or have one ready and available as far as surprising names that now have a political take on the Trump thing, it's gotten all the way to Judge Judy.
Is that the justice system working or is it the justice system being manipulated?
I would be happier as someone who owns property in Manhattan if the district attorney of New York County would take care of criminals who are making it impossible for citizens to walk in the streets and use the subway, to use his efforts to keep those people off the street, than to spend $5 million or $10 million of taxpayers' money yes. trying Donald Trump on this nonsense.
Yes, not just calling it nonsense, but also saying that couldn't you use this money better elsewhere, especially in a place like New York where people are getting punched in the face or pushed onto the train tracks while just trying to ride the subway. Judge Judy on fire here.
That's my view.
Yes.
But I, as a taxpayer in this country, resent using the system for your own personal self-aggrandizement. Now, if you didn't know...
And that's what you think the DA did in Manhattan?
That's what I think. I mean, if you look... He had to twist yourself into a pretzel to figure out what the crime was.
That's great. I love that, Judge Judy. You know what they should do? They should put Alvin Bragg on one side of her courtroom on television. They should put Donald Trump lawyers on the other side. And Judy gets to decide, man. She gets to do the appeal, and whatever she says goes. And then you get the after the Judge Judy decision video camera confessional. I would love that part where the lawyers and Alvin Bragg are like, we don't know. We tried, but... once Judy got involved, it was much, much harder to convince them that her crazy stuff was, in fact, logical. Speaking of crazy stuff that is not, in fact, logical, the vice president, someone who could very realistically be the president if somehow Biden is reelected because of just how ill and how mentally unaware he seems to be, she could actually step up. VP Harris said this today, yet another word salad of, I'm going to say the same thing six times, and I'm going to pretend that it's really, really insightful, and then I'm going to move on to something else, and you'll realize, maybe if you're like a lot of the people listening to this show and paying attention from jump, maybe you'll realize it right away, but if you're some big fan of hers, maybe you'll realize it 20 minutes later when you're going home after this whole speaking engagement. Here we go.
When people stand together, when we use our collective voice, when we stand in solidarity... We can drive extraordinary change.
Are we standing?
Because it is we who stand together.
I thought I was going to sit.
As the collective.
Uh-huh, together.
We have the power and the ability to see what can be.
Uh-oh.
Unburdened by what has been.
And that's the true best hits of the vice president. She will absolutely title her self-written biography. She saw what was unburdened by what had been the Kamala Harris story. But I do think, again, and I can play it for you, that this is just so amazing because I wonder if there's any poor sap sitting in this audience listening to her that hears stand together the first time, the second time, and thinks to himself, I'm not getting this. I'm not figuring out what she's asking us to do. And by the third or fourth one's like, oh, I get it. You and I would stand together in unison and we'd go after whatever the thing is she's telling us to go after. I feel bad for that poor sap if he's in the audience, but here we go.
When people stand together, when we use our collective voice,
uh-huh.
when we stand in solidarity, we can drive extraordinary change.
Oh my God.
It is we who stand together as the collective, who have the power and the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
It is amazing to think that the President of the United States has a brain that's basically not functioning, and yet at times she still sounds dumber than he does. It's hard to do that. It's hard to have a brain that functions and says things that make absolutely no sense as often as our vice president seems to be capable of doing. Jeff Bezos is under fire. The Washington Post has had a lot of issues, a lot of things, a lot of challenges. There's been a lot of upheaval. And Bezos is being asked questions because he owns that place. Bezos so far has given very little information, both to the public and to the staff that remain. I think CNN and many other places were reporting on just how bad everything's gotten at the Washington Post. Whether or not they're happy about that, I'm not sure. But nonetheless, I find it very interesting that there's so much upheaval in so many newsrooms. There's these hidden stories. Well, actually, they're not all that hidden if you look in the right places, about how much AI is being used or is likely to be used moving forward to tell, stories, to tell news, to report news for organizations like the Washington Post, especially when the person in charge of that place is a Bezos. What is terrifying about that, and I doubt I have to tell that many people this, but the amount of control you wield when it's not just a sucker, not just a usable moron, but in fact, a program that you have creative control over that's putting out whatever message you want them to put out. If we think that media right now has uniform opinions that are damaging to our society, and a whole lot of us think that, I think that, think about how much worse it would get when people like Bezos are in control of fake people, in control of robot people who are pretending to be real, who have real sounding names and are just spitting out whatever version of information he's telling it to spit out with at times made up facts. The other thing that seems to still be a problem for AI whenever it tries to report on things. And one of my favorite, I think, was a local newspaper that assigned AI to high school football game writing. And it just started making up players and making up scores and eventually making up teams because at some point AI doesn't know what's real and what's fake. And that's probably a good thing. But nonetheless, we would probably see more and more of that where just stuff gets made up. And then you got to create the deep fake, or I guess the left would call it a cheap fake video to go ahead and attach to whatever the things are that they're doing. All right. One other quick story that I want to touch on. The Supreme Court upheld a law that bars domestic abusers from owning a gun in a major Second Amendment ruling. This is a big deal. A lot of people are going to have very strong opinions about this and whether this is an infringement on the Second Amendment. And then the heartstrings version of a discussion is going to surround if someone is in an abusive relationship, if a woman is in a dangerous situation in a relationship, and if you're protecting her by taking away the right for a man who's been convicted of a crime of domestic abuse from having a gun. I will tell you that I am a gun owner. I am a proud gun owner. I am a law-abiding citizen. I have a lot of fun going to the range. So I have absolutely no problem with the right that I use, that a lot of people use, and we advocate for. As I say that, I understand this issue in a couple ways. And I want to be as honest as I can about it because there's voices that ring in my head when I see a ruling like this. The first thing, and this is really just refuting a media narrative, is that the Supreme Court always makes decisions that lean toward the right or align with conservative values because they do not. And this is another example of that. And there are a ton of examples of that. But the other thing I think about, I've gotten to know a lot of veterans over the last couple years. I've heard a lot of stories. I've met a lot of people. And sometimes there are situations that occur in which an individual is wrongfully perceived to be someone who is a danger to our society. This happens, at least as I'm told, to a lot of veterans. And here's why. I can actually explain this a little bit deeper. At least this is what I've come to realize from talking to individuals who have an experience I don't. I'm not pretending that I myself ever had the courage to fight in our military, and I commend those who do. But if you come back from a conflict and you report to the Veterans Affairs people that you have some sort of mental, problem, some sort of mental illness because of fighting in a war and seeing things that very few people in our society would ever see, which makes tremendous sense, by the way. that you'd have a mental struggle with that, that there'd be PTSD and other things. It puts you on a track that's going to make things harder. If you go through a divorce and if someone makes a claim against you that you believe you can demonstrate is not true, these pieces of your history, these pieces of your life that we all should be so grateful and indebted to these veterans for, come back to haunt them. They come back to hurt them. Saying things in courtrooms to veterans like, well, you are someone that has diagnosed mental health issues from being someone in conflict, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll tell you one more specific story. I know this is anecdotal. I know this information might not matter to a whole lot of people, but I'll provide it to you. There's a veteran I met who fought in Vietnam. And it has nothing to do with domestic abuse, by the way. I don't have a story about that that I'm willing to share because they're not mine. This veteran had a mental health episode in which they passed out in a public place because of some of the things that occurred while they were passing out, and that they, even though they had, and this is in Illinois, you had to have certain licenses to conceal carry. They had those things because of what happened while they passed out. They didn't fire a weapon. They didn't put anybody in danger. But I guess, some of the things that this gentleman owns wound up on display. He was accused of like wielding these things when truthfully he was passing out, falling over, and probably having a mental health reaction because of what he went through, the trauma that he dealt with in his life. This all leads to him having his guns taken away and being told that he's mentally incapable of owning certain things. Now, I will simply ask you the question of someone who serves in our military, serves in a conflict, winds up being told probably daily that the most important piece of equipment that they've been given by our military is their gun, and then told when you're a little older or maybe a lot older that you're no longer safe with that thing that not only did we tell you was the most important item you had on your person every day while at risk of being killed defending our country. Not only is that an issue, but also the fact that we trusted you to fight for us and now we don't trust you to protect your fellow man. And this person never had any interest in hurting anyone. I never pointed their gun at any individual. None of that happened. And I just couldn't get over how much more mentally unhealthy this individual became when his guns were taken away than to have let him keep them. The conversation about how deeply it hurt and how confusing it was led him down a path, not where he ever hurt anybody, to where he really struggled to get out of a lot of the PTSD, depression, addiction things that come with being harmed so badly by that. So when I see stories like this, when I see conversations about how gun rights are being controlled and manipulated by the government, no matter how many people can hear a simplistic version of it and think to themselves, well, this makes sense. This is good for our society. There are complicated versions of those stories that make you wonder if the government should be involved in any of this at all. And of course, a lot of people would say no, because everything is not what it seems, I guess. I know that was a long story. It's absolutely a true story about a veteran that is still without his weapons and still struggling with that. And I've tried to help as much as I can, but there's a lot of red tape in a lot of places that very unfairly follows those who fight to protect us. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find her everywhere. Subscribe to her podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch her on TV on Channel 347 DirecTV. Just everywhere, as I said, on social media, the whole thing. Baltimore may start paying people. This is a quick five, by the way. Let's do a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
There we go. That's my bad. Parents in Baltimore may get $1,000 for making babies. This is something that a advocacy group wants to put on ballot so people can vote on it. Paying us to make children. Because, well, so many young people are having kids compared to past generations. The advocacy group has canvassed for more than a year. It said it has collected upwards of 13,000 signatures. You need at least 10,000 to get on a general election ballot, so they're there. And they want to say that, hey, if you have a kid, you get a free $1,000. I'd love to have that conversation with my wife or anyone in my life to be like, you know, I'm not sure if we're ready for another child or ready to have kids, but here's the thing. This $1,000 may not be around forever. So I'd like to cash in while the getting's good and see how that works for you. That's hilarious to me. Good luck to anybody out there who tries that move. Another thing, Amazon is going to get rid of their bubble packaging, the big giant bubbles, not the little ones that were more fun to pop, in favor of recycled paper. This is somehow, some way to be better for our climate, for our society, for our planet. It's also probably going to break more of your stuff. So good luck to you if you buy something on Amazon and it's super fragile, and as it ships to you, it's shattered into a bunch of little pieces. At least you have some nice recycled paper that you can wrap it up in as you're throwing it out. Heat will trigger more migraines, according to a new study out of the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine. So if you're dealing with the excessive heat and it's uniquely bad for you because of migraines, at least you can know that you're not alone. Anyone who suffers from them is going to feel even more tortured. And then finally, one last one for a quick five. The Simpsons did it again. They predicted something that happened. They're very good at this. They've done it a bunch of times. Somebody discovered a three-eyed fish that looks very similar to the three-eyed fish on the Simpsons cartoon show. So once again, their ability to be Nostradamus and predict the future is better than any cartoon show we've ever seen in our society, which is saying something. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than The Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. D Lash on Twitter, or Dana Lash Radio on Twitter, are two great ways, X, to follow her as well. I love a social media account called End Wokeness. That's all it's called. And it's yesterday, I think, shared a viral episode of a TV show that happened maybe over a year ago that was crazy woke. And now it's got another one. It's a scene from ABC's Station 19 where a young woman who is pregnant, going to have a child, decides to change her mind at the last second and ask her doctor what the sex of her child is going to be. It is a real thing, happened on real television out of California. I'll play it for you and we can react to it together.
Okay. I actually hate surprises.
Okay.
What am I having?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a boy! Yes!
Assuming that's how it identifies.
I'm so...
Okay, here's what I love about this one, and I know, I'm just laughing at it. It seems like they added that audio in there, assuming that's how it identifies, because they're like, uh-oh, our episode of this show is not woke enough anymore. We gotta force something else in that definitely doesn't sound natural, even a little bit at all. Here we go.
Yeah.
It's a boy!
Yes!
Assuming that's how it identifies.
I love that. We could just do that as like a, you know what it could be? It could be just in some people's headphones. You go to a movie, you get the unwoke version of the movie that a lot of us would really enjoy. And then if you can't handle it, we give you a set of headphones and it changes all the things said to woke stuff. That way you can enjoy the movie with whatever your rules are. And I don't have to actually sit through this crap as often as we have to sit through this crap right now. But that is hilarious. And that is one of yet another set of things that are being shared on social media by this account that is demonstrating how much we're being beaten over the head right now by things that we absolutely don't need to be beaten over the head about because, darn it, they think they're doing good. By the way, our president, who is holed up at Camp David, was in front of reporters for a very short amount of time, I think, today. And as he was walking, they asked him a question. They yelled at him. How's debate prep going? And he just looked at them and nodded. I'm not sure if that means good or bad. I imagine he's not hopped up on the amphetamines and whatnot else yet. So it's probably going to be better or who knows? To be totally honest, who knows? There's another thing out there that's going viral. And I know it's a Friday. I know we talk about a lot of political news on radio. A lot of people do it. But I'm tempted to do something else. Heidi Klum was on Hot Ones. And if you don't know what that is, it's a YouTube show that's gotten a lot of following, a significant following, because people eat hot wings and answer quote-unquote hot questions in the world of media. But Heidi Klum is going viral because as she was eating her hot wings, she took her shirt off. She had another shirt on underneath, a tank top. But Heidi Klum is being praised on the internet for the way in which she responded to, this situation. I have audio, And it's just the host of the show kind of reacting the way you might expect him to react. I don't even know if I should play this. I don't even know if I need to play this. But I do find it pretty funny that this has like 6 million views on Twitter, on X right now already. And millions of other people are reacting to just this little tiny snippet of the show and how this host seemed to be frazzled more by Klum without a, shirt on over her tank top than anybody was by eating the hot wings. You know, I don't even need to play it. I think you get the gist of it. But it's just hilarious. Those are the moments in the internet that I like. A lot of times the internet does a lot of stuff that's just annoying now. There's a lot of people that go out there to scream and yell from what is essentially they think their rooftop, and it's really just their Twitter or whatever account it is. And those people, my favorite, usually are also ones that say they don't want to be on Twitter. Like, I hate being on this platform, but while I'm here, let me tell you 57 things that I think that you get wrong, no matter who you are, if you disagree with me. Then you see something like this, the Heidi Klum thing go viral. You're like, yeah, things aren't so bad. As far as the presidential debate goes, that was a little bit of a palate cleanser in between. I thought two things were pretty interesting about decisions being made about the debate. First, Biden chose to be on the right podium for some reason. I don't know what he thinks is better there. And then second, it was announced today that Trump will get the last word. It seems to me to be a very hollow victory for someone who made a lot of concessions in order to debate what many of us think is a broken-brained man, a broken-brained president. Trump had to agree to let mics be muted. Trump had to agree to stipulations that would never have been put in to a debate if it was run by the typical organizations that run this thing. Biden didn't want to go through anyone other than the news organizations that they're going through. Biden only wants to do two, not three. There's so many caveats. But I wonder, especially after the debate is over, and people are reflecting on it and just how challenging of questions CNN lobs at Biden versus the types of questions they lob at Trump. And if the excuse will be, but we let him get the last word. We obviously weren't biased. We obviously weren't being unfair because he said the last thing before the camera cut away. And I wonder if it actually will happen, too. Biden might try to yell stuff. He might not understand any of the things going on. So who knows if the stuff wears off at the wrong moment, if Biden even understands where he is or how to get off a stage. I think that's something I'll be paying attention to and something that who knows if they'll make light of. But anyway, I just think it's interesting that the big announcement to come out included the fact that Trump is supposed to be the one who gets to speak last. All right. Another thing out there that's Trump specific, Alvin Bragg has asked a judge to extend Trump's gag order, citing a quote, deluge of threats. It has been one of the more amazing aspects of the, legal attacks on the former president, especially in cases like the one in Manhattan, when even Judge Judy seems to understand how ridiculous it is. And I can play her audio in just a second, actually, so you can hear her herself describe the craziness going on there. But the other thing that I really kind of believe is that when you look at this as a whole, how do you possibly gag order someone, no matter what they'd say in a legal sense, that is running for the role of president of the United States? How do you do that? And they did it. They didn't care. They don't seem to think it's wrong at all. But how do you do that and then not claim that it is political interference? Out of all the people in our society, and everyone should have the freedom of speech, the guy who's running for office of president or the two people running or however many people you want to count in these races, they should be able to say whatever they want, especially if we're in the unique scenario we've never seen before in our country of a nominee for president being indicted and, being charged with crimes, felonies that make no sense to so many of us. There should be an opening, not a closing, of the ability for this individual to respond to that however they want to do it. Run the campaign whatever way you want. Freedom of speech is something that we should never be afraid of and should never censor this way. But Bragg, as I said, has asked to extend the gag order, and not even because he thinks Trump is breaking it as much as maybe others say Trump is breaking it, but simply because he's blaming society itself. Here is Judge Judy, I mentioned this, talking to Chris Wallace about how broken the Trump case was. I do still love the idea of putting Judge Judy out there and letting her decide who's right and who's wrong, and then the confessional video after with Alvin Bragg seeing saying, you know, I never expected Judge Judy to be involved. I knew it was over for me when she turned on, you know, the TV and got involved in all this stuff. But here is Wallace and Judy.
Is that the justice system working, or is it the justice system being manipulated?
I would be happier as someone who owns property in Manhattan if the district attorney of New York County would take care of criminals who are making it impossible for citizens to walk in the streets and use the subway, to use his efforts to keep those people off the street, than to spend $5 million or $10 million of taxpayers' money trying Donald Trump on this nonsense. That's my view. But I, as a taxpayer in this country, resent using the system for your own personal self-aggrandizement.
You do it, Judge Judy.
Now,
you tell him.
If you didn't know.
That's what you think the DA did in Manhattan?
Yes.
That's what I think. I mean,
he ran on it. He ran on the platform, Alvin Bragg, that he was going to hold Trump accountable for something, that he was the best suited person to do it. He promised his voters that that's how he would behave. Of course he did it that way. All right. One last quick thing that I saw out there that I thought was interesting. A DHS panel targeted Trump supporters for terror probes. America First Legal reported on this. Internal documents from Biden's DHS show their plan to target Trump supporters as domestic extremists. This is according to Intel, the Brennan Clapper Intel Group. Most of the domestic terrorism threat now comes from, quote, supporters of the former president. That is the way that they're discussing it. You know, it's crazy because I remember when some of those articles came out that demonstrated that the FBI was treating people who had religious connections, Catholics specifically, or Christians, as if they were more likely to be radical than anyone else. And no one seemed to think at the time that they were writing these memos that inevitably became public that that was something they were going to regret saying. If data can even back it up or not, irrelevant. They just wanted to take a position that they thought they could keep secret that is ridiculous and offensive to a lot of people who live in this country. The same holds true for this stuff. I don't care how many people think that the radical extremes on both sides are likely to be the most dangerous of people in our society. You cannot target just Trump supporters. You can't say these sort of things and think that whatever you're doing is something that people will look back on and say, oh, yeah, that was fair. That was fine. That made sense to everybody involved. These things are horrible, and they just keep coming out. They keep demonstrating how many issues we still face every single day in this country and why this is a very important election. I will say, too, just quickly, just to get it out there, that even though most reporting is now saying that Trump and Biden are tied, or Biden is even creeping ahead of Trump in some sort of national poll of registered voters. If you look at swing states, Trump is still winning in pretty much all the swing states and actually threatening in places like New York, which is something that you haven't seen in a very, very long time from a Republican politician for president. So I still think a lot of the polling is in benefit to, the big, scary, horrible guy, according to some news media, not the guy whose brain doesn't work at all. But we will see how that reporting, how that polling continues. It is interesting. Some of this is coming out right before the debate. So you turn it on and go in thinking, yeah, Biden's doing better than I thought he was. Let's see how good he is in this debate. I obviously think that there is a strong likelihood that he will fall flat on his face. And I wonder what the end result of that will be. You know what? I'll say this, actually, before I take a break. If the Democratic Party still wants to replace Biden with another nominee, if that's something they still want to do, and a lot of people don't believe it, there's a lot of challenges to if you did it this late in the game. If they wanted to do that, they don't give him the shots. They let him walk out there with whatever version of the brain he actually has and do the debate the best way he can do it after holding himself up at Camp David, and then you immediately replace him if you let him actually behave as we see him every day in all these, quote, cheap fake videos that are out there. All right, quick break. A little bit more coming up. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana is back on Monday. She actually put something up on social media too on X. D Lash is the best way to find her there. And you can see her thoughts on the big Supreme Court decision today involving gun rights and domestic abusers. So just go to DLash on Twitter and then, navigate to that post about those things. And she said she's going to talk about it more in detail on Monday, which I'm certainly looking forward to. She's absolutely a you know, big, big name in the world of those types of conversations. All right. Real quick, a few things before we get to a moment in stupidity toward the end of this last segment here. First, a woman, ordered an Xbox controller from Amazon and did not get an Xbox controller in the mail. What she got instead was a deadly cobra snake. That has to be something to open up the box or to even, you know, kind of hear what's going on inside the box and being like, wow, rumble mode is on for this Xbox controller. And then all of a sudden, giant, deadly cobra snake is what you get. I wonder what that return is even like. Can you drop that off at your local store that does Amazon returns for you and be like, I didn't want this. You got to get this to some other Amazon person who bought this thing. I also didn't know they delivered deadly snakes, but it's nice. It's nice to have that out there as a thing. America's middle class is shrinking. Yes, they're shrinking into poverty. This is according to Newsweek. There is more disparity now than ever between those who have and those who do not. And then a lot of those who do not wind up very much vocal about it on the internet and other places. I'm not trying to admonish them, anyone for that. I'm those who do not. I'm not those that have. But nonetheless, as you say all that, you realize, and we talked to an economic expert earlier in the show, E.J. Antoni from the Heritage Foundation, just how important these sort of elections are. And it's why I was really enjoying a conversation that I might have mentioned yesterday. But I was having with my mother about her sitting down with my niece, her grandchild, and her new boyfriend, and talking about the election. They're both 18. They're both going to vote for the first time. And them saying how, you know, things are really expensive as we plan what we're going to do as we start to move out on our own. So we're probably going to vote for Trump because we hear things were better when we weren't paying attention as much. That is definitely something that I'm guessing is true for a lot of people. One other thing out there. Before we get to our moment of stupidity, Judy Garland's hometown is raising funds to purchase stolen Wizard of Oz ruby slippers. I guess somebody made off with Judy Garland's very, very famous slippers from that movie. And now they're working together hand in hand, as I think our vice president would say. They're standing for something and they're standing while they're together and standing. That might be basically how she'd refer to it or how she'd put it. But yes, the town is coming together. The town is trying to support gaining back some slippers that a thief took in the middle of the night or something like that. All right. Let's do our moment in stupidity if we can.
Oh, yeah, we can. We didn't bring up this today, but Janet Yellen was out there on Fox News trying to defend her stuff. So she was talking about inflation, and she had to backtrack a little bit. So here we go.
Well, look, the pandemic had hit the economy, hit America and the world with full force at the time that President Biden assumed office. And
which is why it was so low, right? Which is why it was so low when he took office. So I know the factors behind that and what was going on, and you're quite right to point that out. But he doesn't. He doesn't say that.
No, he does not.
Inflation hit 9% at its peak.
16 months after he took office.
I love that. I love that she even pauses for a little bit. She's like, that's not on my script. That's not on the stuff I'm supposed to say. I don't want to point the finger in that direction. Today in stupidity, Janet Yellen still trying to reshape inflation, reshape the economy issues, reshape everything as a problem we just had, man. No way that Biden caused that. No way that his policies made things worse. No way. Let's not pay attention to that over here. Janet Yellen, also the genius among other geniuses, that said inflation would be transitory for about a year and a half before being like, man, this transitory thing isn't transitorying enough. That sounded more woke than I intended it. All right. This has been Craig Collins. Thrilled to be here filling in on The Dana Show with you. As I said, Dana is back on Monday. She has already put up on social media, on her Twitter, DLash, that you can expect to hear her thoughts on a very big Supreme Court decision involving gun rights. You can read those thoughts if you go to her post now and navigate to those things, but expect them Monday. I'll see you later. Craig Collins filling in, as I said, on The Dana Show.